Today, we're going to look at some interesting topics in the Bible, and especially this one has been on my heart for a while. And you can see on the screen, it's called Dichotomy of End Time. And today, we're going to look at a world is very diverse. It's very, you can see a lot of parties going on to attack each other. This world and also our nation seems to be divided. And in the Bible, you have the same thing. The whole world is divided. And today, we're going to look into something interesting. Before we do so, let's say a word of prayer. I guess this message is pretty powerful, and the Satan doesn't want us to hear this, but I'm going to preach it anyway, right? So as you can see on the screen, today I'm not going to spend too much time to do some text proving which day it's Saturday or which Sabbath is which day. Also, what is the seal of God? And today I'm just going to dive into it because you want to know more what the seal of God or what's the mark of beast. You can come to online church tomorrow. Elder John Gutewski will break it down to you. And today we'll look at something is the contrast of these two. The first is that we can see the seal of God and the mark of the beast are representing two worships. It's not the chips you can embed in your forehead or your hand. It's the worship you're looking at. And here you're looking at those who worship God is the one who have the seal of God. Those who worship beast will have the mark of the beast. And let's continue to look at a quote here. A spirit prophecy told us that the sign or the seal of God is revealed in the observance of the seventh day Sabbath, the Lord's memorial of creation. The mark of the beast is the opposite of this, the observance of the first day of the week. Our spirit prophecy makes it very clean, very clear to everybody to understand what is the seal of God, what is a mark of the beast. But today, we're going to dive deeper into that. Is the experience people have who receive the seal of God, or the experience people might have received the mark of the beast? We're going to have contrast a little bit today. Let's work it out. What does the mark of beast going to do? And also, what's the benefit receiving the seal of God? If you look at the Bible here, I put a verse here, Revelation 13, 15 to 16. You can see, I marked the verse in different colors so you can see. How does the mark of beast going to work? Read the Bible with me. The beast caused that as many as would not worship the image of the beast shall be killed. Which means that if you do not have the mark of beast, you will be destroyed by the beast. So this mark becomes a protection emblem, so you can prevent yourself being killed or persecuted by this worldly beast. That's what a mark of beast really is. It prevents you from being killed or persecuted by the worldly beast. What is the seal of God going to do? Look at the seal of God. Is that those who receive the seal of God will not be hurt by the wrath of judgment of God. So in the Bible, you have the mark of the beast. In the end time, this beast is start persecuting the people. Once you have the mark, they'll escape you. But after that, when God's judgment is going to fall on us, you better have the seal of God, because I'm not going to read through the whole Bible with you. In Revelation 14, 9 to 12, the third angel message is the very message told us that if you do have the seal of God, or you don't have the mark of the beast, then you will not be tortured, you will not be hurt by the judgment of God. Also, you can go to Ezekiel chapter 9. Pastor Stephen, a few weeks ago, preached that sermon. Right, we can see from Ezekiel chapter 9, when God came to bring the judgment to Israelites, those people who had the mark on the forehead was skipped, was what? Passed over. So the seal of God is actually the imminent that we have, then the angel of the destruction will skip us through. That's actually what does the seal of God really do to us. Continue, we're going to see the contrast. Who is going to receive the mark of the beast? Let's read again a verse in Revelation 13, 15 to 16. I marked it in the red. It says that if any man worship the beast and his image, receives his mark in his forehead. How many people? Any man. And the second verse is that he calls as many as would not worship the image of the beast. And then the continued verse is that he, the beast, calls all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, receive the mark in the right hand or in the forehead, which means that everyone. So who is going to receive the mark of the beast? Everyone on the planet of Earth, except those people who are going to receive the seal of God. Here you can read from the Bible, it's Revelation 7, chapter 1 to 3. I mark it out here for you. It says that I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of living God. He cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till I have sealed the servants of our God in the foreheads. So you can see here, it's very interesting. Mark of the beast, that once you have that, you're not going to be persecuted by the beast. You have the seal of God. Once you have that, you're not going to be persecuted or not to be harmed or hurt by the judgment of God. Who's going to get the mark of the beast? Everyone. Who's going to have the seal of God? The servants of God. So make a very interesting conclusion here. So who's going to receive mark of the beast? Everyone except those called the servant of God who have already received the seal of God. So in the end time, the dichotomy is that you're either going to have the mark of the beast or you're going to have the seal of God. Who are you? Anyone else? Or you're the servants of God. And today our sermon is contrasting these two, also contrasting on two things. Is that what is the experiences? How can I become a servant of God? Once you become a servant of God, you receive the seal of God and you become the group which is away from the people who received Mark of the Beast. And that's what we can look at today. Continue our sermon, servants of God. And the thing is this, what makes a servant of God? Before I dive into the experiences they're going to have, I'm going to show you what a servant of God isn't. All right, let's look at some core here. The being a servant, if you look at that, being a servant isn't just attending church on Saturday. And people, we know Sabbath is actually the seal of God. And sometimes that, I'm a servant, it's not just talking about going to church on Saturday. Let's read a quote here together. Say this, not all who profess to keep the Sabbath will be sealed. When I was reading this prophecy quote, I was like, whoa, wow, it's a serious one. Let's continue to see this. There are many even among those who teaches the truth to others who will not receive the seal of God in their foreheads. Some people are thinking, I will be a servant of God if I go to church on Saturday. Churchgoers doesn't make you a servant of God. It doesn't make you receive the seal of God. They had the light of a truth. They knew the master's will. They understood every point of our faith, but they had not corresponding works. Spirit prophecy made it very clear. Even though you were going to the right church, you go into the church at the right day, it doesn't guarantee you're going to receive the seal of God. Because you might understand, you might knew it, but you didn't have the corresponding work with you. This who were so familiar with the prophecy and the treasures of divine wisdom should have acted their faith. So we're possibly made it very clean, very simple to us that they understand every point of our faith, but they didn't act on it. There's no corresponding action. They should have commanded their household after them, and by a well-ordered family, they might present to the world the influence of the truth upon the human heart. So, us being a servant is not just merely attending a church on the right day, Saturday. Is to allow the truth to come into us, to transform us, to have the corresponding work. If we just knew about it, or just profess to it, if we just have that knowledge in our head, it doesn't mean we're going to have the seal of God. It doesn't mean we will not be heard by the judgment of God. Or on the other side, you have the mark of the beast. Let's continue. The second point, being a servant isn't going to satisfy with their spiritual walk. Being a servant, we're not easily satisfied where we're at spiritually speaking. The spiritual walk is a growing process. We're never going to be satisfied where we're at. We're constantly to want to know more about God. I constantly have the desire to come close to Him. Let me read a quote for you as well. By their lack of devotion and piety, then their failure to reach a higher religious standard, they make their souls contend with their position. Men of finite judgment cannot see that in patterning after this man who have so often opened to them the treasures of God's word, they will surely endanger their souls. Jesus is the only true pattern. Everyone must now search the Bible for himself upon his knees before God. Which means that sometimes you're not satisfied listening to one sermon or one pastor. Come down to your knees, study the word for yourself. Being a servant is not satisfied with listening to our sermon once a week. It's not satisfied where to add, spiritually speaking, in terms of self and a family. We need to what? Advance a spiritual walk. We need to come down to our knees. How's our devotion every day? Do we have a desire to come close to God? Being a real servant who is going to get ready to receive the seal of God is not going to be satisfied, oh, I just read one verse each every day. There's no deep meditation. There is no application. It's just about, oh, I have read it in my Bible. Some of them don't even do that. Being a servant who is ready to receive the seal of God requires a lot more than that. And here, the Spirit prophet continued to say that everyone must now search the Bible for himself upon his knees before God with a humble, teachable heart of a child. If he would know that what the Lord requires of him, however high any ministers might have stood in the favor of God, if he neglects to follow out the lights given him of God, if he refuses to be taught as a little child, he will go into darkness and satanic delusions will lead others in the same path. We're talking about if we are not have the desire to come to God close every day, you have that chance to receive the mark of the beast. Being a servant is the opposite of the people who receive the mark of the beast. The third one. Being a servant of God isn't going to transfer their own responsibilities. Look at this. I type in the seal of God in the spirit prophecy. A lot of quotes coming out. This is the one I was shocked the most. It says this. Are not many fathers and mothers placing their responsibility into others' hands? Talking to those parents today. Being a servant of God isn't going to transfer your responsibility to other people's hands. Do not many of them think that the minister should have taken a burden to say to it that the children are converted, that the seal of God is placed upon them. So do not think that either your minister, your pastor, your kid group leader, your Sabbath school teacher is going to help your kid. Nor can the Sabbath school. It is their parents' privilege to help the children obtain the knowledge which they might carry with them into future life. Don't think the Sabbath school teacher is going to help your kid. That's your privilege, your responsibility to help out your kid. But for some reason, many parents dislike to give their children religious instruction. Spirit prophecy says that some parents don't like to do that. For some reason, we don't know what reason that is. They leave them to pick up the Sabbath school in the knowledge they should impart concerning their responsibility to God. Such parents need to understand that God desired them to educate, to discipline, and to train their children, ever keeping before them the fact that they are forming characters for the present and the future life. Being a servant is not to, oh, you do the job, I just sit back. Being a servant of God is the one to realize our own responsibility to helping others to form the character, especially that your children. Do not lay that responsibility to someone else. Being a servant is to help ourselves and other people to have the seal of God. And sometimes we see that in our church, don't we? We try to transfer that responsibility to someone else. But that's not what servant of God will do. And now we're going to change the gear a little bit. We're going to look at what makes a servant of God. And many people are asking the question, how do I become a servant of God who is ready to be sealed by the seal of God? Let me give you the answer today. The seal of God itself, we know from the Bible, is Sabbath. Would it make sense that the Sabbath will make a servant of God? Today, I want to present to you why Sabbath what makes you a good servant of the Lord. Let's walk us through the journey together. Sabbath will be the key. Sabbath experience. And you know, in the Bible, it's very interesting. In the Ten Commandments, let me just say that out here. The fourth commandment says that remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. There is no a commandment in the Ten Commandments says that keep Sabbath. Rather, it's keep Sabbath holy. There's a big difference there. And today I want to walk with you the journey. How does keeping Sabbath holy will help you to become a servant of God? Let's walk through the journey together. The first point, Sabbath. Sabbath always points us back to creation. When you experience the Sabbath, it actually helps us, remind us that we are created by God, that our life purpose is to have, to reflect God's glory, His character. Sabbath points back to the beginning, knowing, hey, your life purpose is not to gain wealth, is not to buy multiple cars or produce, have straight A's in a school, is not to have beautiful wife, whatever, career pick, no. Sabbath experience has given us the understanding we are created in the image of God. We are to reflecting His glory, which in the Bible means that His character. The purpose is what's refocused again through the Sabbath experience. When we come to Sabbath day, let us remember that today that God celebrated creation is that He had created us for a purpose. That is understanding what defeats a lot of things in our life. For example, many people have had a different desire plan for the career, but when you have ambition or your purpose is to make money, will be very different to people who their purpose is to reflecting God's glory. Because in order to reflect God's glory, you have to act righteously or choose the righteous way. And sometimes we try to make money, we sacrifice principles. Do we see that a lot in our days today? Yes. Corruptions happen everywhere. It's because the purpose is to worshiping mammon in the Bible. It's called money. But we know through experience of Sabbath that we are created by God. Our purpose is not having those monies. You know, in heaven, the bricks of the streets are gold. No matter how much money you make here, it will compare to nothing in heaven. Because God knows the most precious thing we have on the earth is our character. Sabbath, keeping Sabbath holy, refocus us to understand our purpose of life is to reflect God's character. Well, we'll use one word to summarize that is love. Sabbath gave us experience. Sabbath helped us to know the beginning, help us to know the original meaning of our life. That's Sabbath's first layer of Sabbath's meaning, is pointing back to creation, gave us understanding. Second, is that Sabbath is a day about salvation. If you realize that Jesus Christ died on a Friday, and Jesus Christ rested on the Sabbath day, and Jesus Christ resurrected on Sunday, why He rested on Saturday? Because it was a celebration of completion of a salvation of humanity. God in the beginning rested on the seventh day because He finished creation. Jesus rested on Sabbath because that He finished salvation. Here you can see Sabbath reminds us that Jesus had died and resurrected for us, that we are able to die waiting and to be reborn into His victory. That is the second layer of a Sabbath experiences. And Jesus celebrates salvation on Sabbath day. What does that mean to us today? That's something I want to break it down even more. Turn your Bible with me. I put a verse on the screen here. Luke chapter 9, verse 23. This is actually the essential experience of Sabbath that we ought to have. Luke chapter 9, verse 23 says that, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. In order to experience victory in Jesus Christ, we have to learn how to die waiting. And here, Jesus Christ said, follow me. Come after me. Let him deny himself. Deny his original ambitions of life. Do not think about making money is the purpose of your life. Take God's way, God's truth, God's life, reflecting God's glory. is what God made it for you.
Deny yourself. Deny your intemperance. Deny your worldly desires. Deny the desire of eyes, of flesh, the pride of life. We have to learn a Sabbath experience of really keeping God's day holy is that we have the experience to come to God. Jesus Christ said that, I realize that I'm a sinner, I'm helpless, I'm not righteous, I'm doomed to death because of my sin. And when I realize that my heart is called deceivable above all things and desperately wicked, there's nothing good, nothing righteous can come of this sinful heart. And I realize that my way or what I believe is not necessarily true or right. We come to Jesus Christ to deny our own desire and take up the cross daily. The cross is the symptom, it's the evidence of betrayal, hurt. Is that once you learn to deny yourself, you have to take up some pain in yourself. You know, let me give an example. Some of us struggle to get up early to do devotions. And we like that comfy was to stay in the bed. When we have a true Sabbath experience, not on a Saturday, the true Sabbath experience is throughout the week that teach us that we need to follow God's way, deny ourselves, we probably need to get up earlier. Forget about the comfy in the bed. Come on the knees to pray, to come to the Lord. That's one thing. Eating habits, watching habits, entertainment habits, all that. Have we surrendered to the Lord? The Calvary, it gave us an example. And Jesus Christ surrendered everything to the Lord. Have we learned to die to our own desires? Have we learned to receive a life of Jesus Christ in us that we be able to have His righteousness, that we can, you know, this is the verse of verification. Let's turn to our Bible to John 14. 6. I didn't put this verse on the screen. John 14, chapter 6. This is the powerful verse in the Bible. It says this, Jesus said to them, to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. You know, many people today say that I have received Jesus Christ as my Savior. Let me use the other verse. Let me use a simple math equation in this verse. If you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, is that true in this verses that Jesus, the way He does things, will be your Savior? The truths He believed will be your Savior, and the life He lived will be your Savior too. Sometimes we separate Jesus Christ as a person to this verse. The way He acted, the truths He believed has nothing to do with me. But this verse is that what? I am the way Jesus treated people. It will be the Savior of your soul. I treated people like this way, they're gonna cause death. But the way Jesus treated will be my life. Have I denied the way I eat, denied the way I entertain, denied the way, you know, all the ways, and God will convict us ways. Have I learned the very journey that Jesus Christ said that if any man come after me, deny himself, take his cross daily. This is what we're talking about in the beginning. Being a servant, we need to have a desire to come close to the Lord daily. Do we have the experience? If we didn't have the experiences, the chances are for us to getting a seal of God is very small. Or on the other side, you may have the mark of the beast. The mark of the beast, the worshiping idols is essentially worshiping themselves. It's trying to pray to God, get what they want. Is try to live a life pleased to themselves. And Calvary, salvation is the center of Christianity. Have we forgotten about that? Self-denial, we have not practiced self-denial. Even sometimes in our baptism, we don't require that. We don't teach that anymore. We talk about, you know, 78 fundamental, 13 vows, but we have not shared a journey with people. How do we deny ourselves, take the cross, and follow Jesus Christ? Let me read you a quote right here. It's a powerful quote from Spirit Prophecy. Maybe a little bit small. Let me read it out for you. In this life, we must meet our fiery trials and make costly sacrifice. Spirit Prophecy uses the word must. You want to be a servant of God? You want to receive the seal of God? This is what you must do. that we must meet fiery trials and make costly sacrifice, but the peace of Christ is the reward. There has been so little self-denial, so little suffering for Christ's sake, that a cross is almost entirely forgotten. This is the pain of inspiration. Let's ask a question to ourselves. When was the last time I meditated on Calvary? When was the last time I was thinking about denying my desire, worldly desire? When was the last time I come to Jesus Christ asking to give me the strength that I can die wasting and get reborn into his victory he had it? Christianity has become a worldly entertainment in a lot of places. But today, God is calling people to learn about Christ, how he denied himself, the Garden of Gethsemane. As much as he doesn't want to go to Calvary, but he said that, only Father, your will be done, not mine. Have we meditated those words? Have we come to Jesus Christ to desire that relationship even more every day? We must be partakers with Christ for his sufferings. Not that you literally go to Calvary, but you take partake in the suffering of denying your flesh. If we will sit down in the triumph with him on his throne, we have to partake in Christ's suffering. So long as we chose the easy path of self-indulgence and are frightened at self-denial, our faith will never become firm, and we cannot know the peace of Jesus Christ nor the joy that comes through the conscious victory. You want to know the difference between the seal of God and the mark of the beast? It is that the people who understand, receive the seal of God, understand the suffering with Christ, the self-denial. The mark of the beast people will what? Give in to self-indulgences. They will never understand what a victory in Jesus Christ feels like, looks like. That's the difference. I don't want to preach too much on mark of the beast because you are not a servant of God. You didn't have the seal of God. You automatically received mark of the beast. And here, just catch this. Seal of God is only upon the forehead of the people. That's where, you know, the frontal lobe is. That's where you're making decisions is. That's where your spiritual life is, frontal lobe. But a mark of the beast will be placed on forehead and your right hand, which means that knowing or not knowingly, you will obey worshiping the beast. You don't have to understand the theories. As long as you do what the beast tells you, you receive that already. Here, God says that I don't want a merely I don't want a merely action out of there's no willing heart to obey. Comply is different than obedience. Sometimes our compliance to God, it doesn't mean that it's coming out of our true heart, which is regenerated by the blood of Jesus Christ. God wants obedience. God doesn't want us simply comply to what he asked to do. And here you continue to see the most exalted of the redeemed host that stand before the throne of God and the Lamb, clad in white, know the conflict of overcoming, for they have come up through great tribulations. Spirit prophets are describing the people who are going to receive the seal of God here. Those who have yielded to the circumstances rather than engaging these conflicts will not know how to stand in the day when anguish will be upon every soul. Oh, isn't that serious? Seal of God is going to prevent you to receive the judgment of God. Why? It's because of this reason. Because they have yielded. They have engaged in a conflict. They have learned the victory that Jesus Christ is going to give it to us. And the power, the blood of the Lamb. And here continue to say that when Shunoya, Job, Daniel were in the land, they could have saved neither the son nor daughter. For everyone must deliver his own soul by his own righteousness. Spirit prophecy is very clear. You have to make a decision today whether you want to receive the seal of God or the mark of the beast. Have I learned to come to Jesus Christ, to be loved by Jesus Christ? And I'm responding to his love that I want to deny my flesh and follow him. Do I have that? Do I also realize that Sabbath is all about creation, that it's all about a purpose? Why he created me is to reflect in his glory, his character. Or am I engaging in self-indulgences, destroy the very character God created me to be? That is the essential experiences. Sabbath is actually the summary of all the experiences. Last one, second coming. As we see from the first and second, third angel messages, Sabbath is actually the conflict point in the last days, referring to what? The second coming. Sabbath reminds us that Jesus is coming again to give us a final rest to his servants. And the last point is that God knows that he's coming back. He actually charges us to go out to prepare more people for his second coming. Let me read the verse here. This is actually found in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. This is verse, you want to see the true Sabbath experience involves understanding the creation, where we're coming to life purpose. The true Sabbath experience involving understanding Jesus Christ give us victory. Also, third one is that we're going to have a true rest. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 onward. You see this? Come unto me. Jesus Christ said those words. Come unto me, all you that labor are heavy laden. I will give you rest. You know, some of us, or many of us, quote this verse and we stop right there. Oh, yeah, hallelujah. Let's come to rest in Jesus Christ. Okay, we can go have lay activities, you know, on Saturday. After church, many of us do lay activities, you know, laying on a bed or a sofa or something. But a true understanding of the verse, it doesn't stop there. Continue to read. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in the heart. Then you shall find rest unto your soul. For my yoke is easy. My burden is light. Here, the true rest is not just stop doing something. The true rest is to become a co-worker with Jesus Christ. The yoke of Christ is the work of Christ, is to save souls before the probation closed. The third layer of Sabbath experiences is that I know my Creator, I know my Savior, I know that He is coming back as a second coming Savior. I'm going to go out there to engage the work of Jesus Christ to save the souls. It's not merely just be a church goer. Oh, I attended the church. Oh, I attended the Sabbath school. Oh, I even go to care groups. But in my heart, I have had the desire to go out, work with Jesus Christ, to discern opportunities. How can I bring other people to the truth, to the salvation of Jesus Christ? If you have not had that, you have not had the true Sabbath experience. You have not ready to receive the seal of God. Because in the meantime, only one type of people can receive the seal of God is the servant. The servant called doulos is a slave. It's the one who give themselves completely to the word of God. They will be the ones do everything they can to help others to the kingdom. Have I engaged a personal ministry? Have I engaged any ministry that I can do with other people? Have I tried anything to win other people to Christ? We're not satisfied. A true servant is not satisfied where we're at. A true servant is also not satisfied with how many people that I have helped. A true servant is looking forward to more opportunities than God will give it to him. The harvest is great, is plenty, but laborers are few. Are you today want to have that true experience of Sabbath to become a servant of the Lord? Is that in your heart? Lord, I want to keep the Sabbath holy. Lord, I want to be the servant of yours. Lord, I want to have the seal of God. I want to preach your message to the people, how you have given me a purpose, how you have redeemed me from my sin, that I can live a life worthy to be called your sons and daughter. Have I had a desire in my heart? Have I experienced the Sabbath? The last call I want to share to you, a difference between the seal of God or the mark of the beast, is that love is expressed in obedience. You cannot love Jesus Christ without obedience. Obedience is application of love. The obedience is a love language you express to the one you love. To God is obedience. And perfect love casts out all fears. Those who love God have the seal of God in their foreheads and work the works of God. Today, before we finish the sermon, I just want to make a appeal.
For those of you who have been in the church for a while, for those of you who have understand the truth, that you have not acted upon it, is that your desire today to come to the Lord and say, Lord, forgive me. I want to make a change in my life. I want to start act upon the truth I know. If for those of you here, you answer to the appeal to me in your heart, says, amen, the Lord, come, help me. The second one is that those ones who come to church understand it, everything, but you have not yet had a desire to reach out to your neighbors, to anyone God put in your heart, that you have procrastinated, you have denied it, the desire. And you, today you want to say to the Lord, forgive me. And today, I want to surrender to your will, that I will be making a pledge to your kingdom, that I will be a servant of yours. If that's your will, you bow down. Now let's have a prayer together. Father, I just want to thank you, Lord, for giving us the truth in time, the very experience you want us to have to keep Sabbath holy. Now we will remember you are the creator who gave us a purpose reflecting your character. Also give us a chance to redeem our sin, to teach us how to deny ourselves, how to be resurrected by the power of Jesus Christ, that we can live a righteous life. And also give us a privilege that we can go partake the work of your Son, Jesus Christ. And Father, bless us, and bless those people who have made a decision in their heart. They will come back to you. They will start to act. They will start to repent, to act on their convictions, and they will be a worker of your kingdom. And Father, please answer those prayers in our hearts, because we know the time is short. The Sunday law is coming soon, and the close of probation is ahead of us. Teach us your way, your truth. Let us have the life of Jesus Christ. Amen. Benediction. I want to read you a verse in Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1 to 3. Seventh Adventist, arise, arise, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is arising upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and the deep darkness the people, but the Lord will rise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. The Gentiles shall come to your light, and the king to the brightness of your rising. Let's pray. Father, forgive our sins. Forgive the times we know the truth and didn't act upon it. Give us a desire to come to you to be the light of the world. We know the darkness is coming. The mark of the beast is going to be on everybody else except those ones who receive your seal. And Father, have mercy on us. Teach us to rise, to shine in a dark world like this. Teach us to love you, to surrender our life to you, to become the true children of yours, to be sealed of a living God, to see you coming again. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.